overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testified that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service of the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then to us in keeping with God's will. So we urged Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But just as you excel in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge and complete earnestness in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. Pastor Rose. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is living and active. We ask now that our minds would be attentive, that our hearts would be open, teach us what it means to be generous and to live out of your abundance. In your name we pray. Amen.
A few years ago, Bruce, can you turn this down a little bit? A few years ago, I ran into somebody that I knew when I lived in Delaware. It's a guy named T.J. Tenefoss, and I was sharing with him about our church and how we eat together usually after worship on Sunday, and just about what our church was like. And then I got he contacted me and he said, you know, I have these big, not grills, but smokers. I have these big smokers, and I smoke meat. And he does it to make money for his family. But he's like, I have enough, and I would like to donate meat to your church that I smoked. And I want you guys to just have a party and just celebrate that God is good. And I thought to myself, because I know him and I know his family and his children, and I know that they didn't really have the nicest house and they didn't always have the newest things, but his heart was always so big and so generous. And here he had heard about our church. He didn't know anybody in the church but me, and he wanted to bless us. So he made this arrangement, and it was a few years ago, but we had this party. And TJ and his wife Jolene, they always lived like out of God's abundance. Now look at that bucket, right? Some of us, we just want a bigger bucket. We want more stuff, but TJ's bucket wasn't that big, and then it was enough for their family, and then everything else that God gave them, they gave away. They blessed people with. They loved to do that. TJ and Jolene lived out of the overflow of God, out of the abundance that God gave them. So in this series, we've been talking about God's generosity, and we've said everything in the world belongs to God, right? The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and everybody who lives in it. There's another scripture, Psalm 50, that says, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Everything belongs to God. And God has made us stewards of everything that we've been given, everything that's His. So a steward is someone that takes care of it. So we're supposed to take care of the earth. We're supposed to take care of our bodies. We're supposed to take care of our time, of our money, of our possessions, of all of the gifts and talents we've been given. We're supposed to take care of it. And to help us remember to do that, we give offerings, we give tithes, we give back to God, we give God our best, our first fruit. You know, I appreciate that at Whitehall, we just come as we are. We can come, you can come in shorts, you can come in a suit and tie. People might look at you funny if you come in a suit and tie, unless it's on Easter, but you can come. When I grew up, I went to church, we had to dress up to go to church. And the reason we dressed up is because my mom said, we give God our best. We give God our best. And there's some good parts of that and some not so good parts of that. But the idea that we give God our best, we give God our best time of day, we give God the best of our money, we give God the best of our talents, we give Him our best. So we're thinking about that the last two Sundays. So today we're going to think about, in our scripture, that we give God even beyond what is expected, even beyond what we have. God is generous, and we're His kids. Since we're His kids, we should reflect who He is, which is this God who is very, very generous. There's this overflow. The bucket is running over. When I was a little kid, we sang this song, "My cup is full and running over," right? And that idea is that I was taught from little up, we give out of the abundance of what God has given us. We don't just ask for a bigger bucket, right? We share what God has given us. So our text today is from 2 Corinthians, and it's from chapter 8, but also chapter 9. I'm going to preach a little bit from chapter 9. If you need some Sunday afternoon reading, read both chapters together, the whole thing. They are really good chapters. But it is like the only place in the Bible that I can remember, in the New Testament, that I can remember where there's like a big fundraising appeal. There's a big, let's raise money appeal. Okay, and the reason why is because Paul was traveling around to visit different churches, and as he visited different communities and churches, he realized that the church in Jerusalem was in big trouble. There was a famine, there wasn't enough food, there was a lot of hardship, there had been persecution. So when he would go and tell this church about what was happening there, and they heard, oh my goodness, our brothers and sisters in Jerusalem are in trouble. Let's raise money for them. And so Paul, next time you come back around, we're going to have money to give you. And so chapters 8 and 9 are talking about this big fundraising event. Now, mind you, if you read chapter 8 and 9, the word money is not mentioned one time. Never mentioned. But the word grace is mentioned 10 times. Grace is undeserved gift. Undeserved gift. Free, given freely, is mentioned 10 times. So let's look at this story a little bit. So when Paul is writing to a church at Corinth, he's bragging about a church in Macedonia. Okay, so they got two kinds of churches going on here. The Macedonian people. So the background is there were three churches in Macedonia, and those of you that know a little bit about geography, that's like the area that is known as Greece today. So that peninsula that comes down right up the top. So in Macedonia, there were three churches, the church at Philippi, and we have that letter Philippians in our Bible, the church at Berea, and the church at Thessalonica. And those churches were so poor, they were so poor, that when Paul was going around and saying, hey, we got to help the church at Jerusalem, he didn't even ask these three churches because they were so poor. Why bother? They just needed to take care of themselves, right? But he did tell them that the church at Corinth had promised to help the church in Jerusalem. And he said that the church in Corinth had decided that every week they were going to take part of their offering, part of their money, and they were going to put it aside, put it in a special place for the church of Jerusalem. So when a year or however many months later, when Paul came back around or somebody came around, they would have a lot of money to offer to take back to Jerusalem. And when the church at Macedonia heard this, they were like, hey, wait a minute. We want to share too. We want to give too. Well, don't take the joy away from what we want to offer. We want to help the church at Jerusalem. And so Paul is sharing this story with Corinth because he's saying, hey, the guys in Macedonia, when we came back around, they gave. They're poor, but they still gave out of what they had. They gave what they were able, and they gave even more than what we expected, more than what they could give. This story reminds me, in our church conference of churches here in Franconia Conference, We had a situation a couple years ago where the church at Norristown was going to lose their building. And it was more than just the church building. They had rented it out to different people. And so people found out about it, and they were like, oh, and they started calling all the big churches. Oh, we're going to call Franconia Mennonite Church because they have 600 people. And we're going to call, you know, Souderton because they have a lot of people. And we're going to call Salford because they have a lot of people. And we're going to ask them for money to help Norristown New Life to save their building. And some of the immigrant churches that are Indonesian in Philadelphia said, like the church at Macedonia, hey, we want to help too. Don't take away the joy of our giving. So you have people that you would expect to not have much offering with joyful hearts, wanting to help, wanting to give, wanting to support. And it says in verse 1, this came from the grace that God had given them. God had given them undeserved blessings, and they knew it, and they wanted to share that. They gave as much, and it says in verse 5, they exceeded our expectations. They gave more than what we expected. It was voluntary, it was joyful, it was grace-filled giving. Now, let's go on to the church at Corinth. The church at Corinth was a really wealthy church. It had a lot of money, and the city had a lot of money. And the church at Corinth didn't just have a lot of money. They were known for having a lot of gifts. So if you'd compare it to churches today, you could say, oh, they had like a big organ, and they had a choir, and they had an amazing pianist, and they had artists that made beautiful things to hang all over the sanctuary, and they had people that were evangelists and people that spoke in tongues, and they had all these gifts that just were full, and they had a lot of people, right? And so when they had first heard about the church in Jerusalem, remember what I said? They said, every week we're going to set aside, because we have so much, we're going to set aside a little bit every week. And Paul had told the Macedonians about the church at Corinth. And now he's telling the church at Corinth about Macedonia, because he says it's time. Titus is coming, and he's going to see what your collection is. Have you been setting aside something every week? Do you have anything? You were so excited about helping in the beginning. Where are you now? Do you have anything to give? And Paul wants to motivate them, because if they haven't been setting aside something, I think he expects them to quickly get together, because they have so much. They have so much. But his motivation for them is in verse 9. No, if you can read that, read it with me. Okay, so, read it with me. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty we might become rich. So what he's saying is, Jesus had everything in heaven. The glory, the beauty, everything. He gave it all up to put on skin and flesh and walk around so that we could have life. So that we could have peace, so that we could have joy, so that we could have hope, so that we could have salvation, so that we could live with God forever. If God gave his best, if Jesus gave everything, the church at Corinth, you probably have something to give to help the church at Jerusalem. And then the last verse, verse 12 in that section there says, if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable. According to what one has, not according to what one does not have. I remember babysitting when I was young, and I remember a time where my niece and my nephew were outside playing, and they came into the kitchen, and they were so proud because they had picked beautiful dandelions. Here, Rosie, because they called me Rosie, right? Here, this is for you. Now, I know a dandelion's just a weed. But you know what? Their heart, their willingness to think about me and to want to give me something and to look around and to see the beauty and to give it, that meant the world. Just as much as, you know, beautiful flowers that somebody else bought at the, you know, flower shop. Because their heart was in the right place. Because they wanted to. And God says, you know, whether it's the church at Macedonia or whether it's the church at Corinth, giving a little or giving a lot, it's not so much about the amount. It's that your heart is open and it's in the right place and it's desiring to be faithful to God and what He asks, and it's desiring to bless others out of the abundance. That's what's important. We're talking about money today, but we've been talking about all these other things. You know, we've been talking about our bodies and our time and our talents. And whenever I see that verse 12, I always think of, and I've shared it before, I always think of this one story that happened in my life because it stuck with me forever. I was in high school and I was offering God my talent, right? I was singing in a quartet. That means there were four of us singing, four women, four young ladies. Usually when you have a quartet, that means you have soprano, alto, and high tenor, and, you know, you have four parts. But I had a hard time holding my part, and so did one other girl. So we both sang soprano, so even though there were four of us, there were only three parts, usually. But it was a special night. Our youth group was doing the whole service at church, and I was in a skit, and I was in a special music, and so we were doing the special music part first, and the last note of the song, we decided we were going to be brave, and we were going to do four parts. And, you know, it was a long note. You held it out. And so I had practiced, and I hit the note not quite right. But you're holding it out, right? And it's like, shine. It's like you're trying to hold it out, but it's going down. The word was shine, I still remember. And it was just, oh, it was painful. It hurt my ears. It was so bad. And so I think my face got red hot, and I went downstairs because I had to change clothes to do a skit. And I was by myself in the bathroom, and I remember just being so mad. And like, I am the worst singer ever, and why do I even try? I'm not as good as the other two. And I was so upset, and I was like, I'm not even going to remember my lines, because we had memorized our lines for the play, the skit, and I'm not going to remember them. I'm a failure, you know, on and on and on. And this is what's going on in my head. And I was like, okay, I got to get it together. And I grabbed a Bible, and I did one of those things that you do sometimes where you plop it open and you stick your finger on a verse. Bam! You see what it is. It was that verse. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what you have, not according to what you do not have. And it was like God said, Rose, yeah, that note was a little sour. But you know what? Your heart and your gift was to give it to me. And I accept it. I accept it. Even though, you know, somebody else might have done better, I accept it because your heart was right. And I've never forgotten that. It's like the words just leapt out from the page. Like the Holy Spirit was like, yes. And I was able to go upstairs and do the drama and remember my lines, knowing that no matter if I did well or did poorly, my gift was received. So we're talking about money in this case, but it's for any of these things. Whatever you offer God, you know, whatever you offer Him, if your heart is, God has given me and I want to give back and I want to bless others, the gift's acceptable. The gift is acceptable. Those of you that are perfectionists like me can just live into that. So the youth group did the story of the loaves and the fishes. That story is told several times in the Gospels. One time there's seven baskets, another time there's 12 baskets. So that's what this picture is of 12 baskets. What is important for us to remember is God's divine economy is one of abundance. It's one of abundance. There's always more than enough. There is more than enough. God's economy is not like ours. In studying for this week, I was reading some other people's stories. And I read this one man's, and it really struck me. He was telling about a time when he was in on the continent of Africa, and he was traveling around as visiting different Christian workers that were there. And he visited this one village, and there was a Christian worker there, and he and his wife were missionaries, and they had 6 children. And I think this was a long time ago, because holy cow, they only got a stipend of $10, 10 American dollars, to live off every month. And so they were pretty poor, but they were just living among the people and sharing God's good news. And in that region, there was a sickness that would affect children. It would cause them to go blind. And modern medicine is awesome, right? And there's like, you can help deworm, you can help give a pill to help things like this. And it was, the pill or the medicine only cost 50 cents. 50 cents. And so this mission worker was sharing with the other one, and he said, you know, for a long time I just kept praying to God, we have to help all these children that are going blind, we have to prevent it. Will God please send a rich person to pay for it, you know? Or will God please like help some church in the United States or somewhere just decide to give a bunch of money and everybody will have medicine, everybody will be well. And he kept praying and nothing ever happened. And finally he was praying and God said, why don't you do it? He's like, but I only have $10. I only have $10. That's not enough. But he talked to his children and his family, and they decided every month they were going to help one child. So he had been there 7 years when this guy ran into him, and they had saved the lives of 84, or saved the sight of 84 children. Prevented them from going blind. And his family had never wanted for anything. Their bucket wasn't really big, like financially, but their bucket was very big in terms of the blessings of God. So God's economy is one of abundance. There's more than enough when we offer him what feels like our loaves and our fishes. Oh, this is all we have. Here it is. I hope it's good enough. Or we say, here it is, this is my heart, here it is, and God multiplies it and provides. 2 Corinthians 9 talks about this living out of abundance. It uses the example of a farmer. It says, you know, when a farmer only plants a few seeds, they're only going to get a few tomatoes or a few ear of corn, right? But if they plant generously and lavishly and spread it out all over, they're going to get a big harvest. And he's telling this to the church at Corinth. He said, God will provide everything you need so that you then can share with others in need. You're part of my divine economy. You're part of my plan to provide for others. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then the bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources. You will be enriched in every way. So, A month ago, we were having a servant leader meeting, and we were talking about the fact that in White House Church, we have some problems with electricity. You know, downstairs in the basement, if you go to turn the air conditioners on, and the breakers go off, and it's a problem, blah, blah, blah. And Steve Crist happened to be at that meeting, and he said, well, you know what? I know of somebody that they really like to help churches that have issues with electricity, So guess what, guys? This week, somebody came in and they fixed our electrical problems downstairs and upstairs. They put some new lights in, and we can use all the air conditioners now that it's fall and we don't need them. We can use them all at the same time and they won't trip the breaker. Somebody blessed us with $5,000 worth of electrical work. Out of the abundance, out of the generosity. Here it is. We're giving it to you. For 3 or 4 years, there's another church in our conference, Finland Mennonite Church. They're a big church. They have several services. They have a lot of money. And what they decided to do is when they take an offering, they're going to take 10% of it, a tithe, and they're going to tithe to other congregations, to other ministries, to, you know, clean up the situation in Puerto Rico after the hurricane, things like that. So every year, usually in January or February, we get their tithe from December. They give it to us for Danilo's ministry. That's like $4,000 or $5,000 they just give to us. I don't know if you know that, but this is this idea of we live out of the abundance. We choose to do that. Last week, we introduced the SPAC. Some of you were here, some of you were not here. So I'll just talk about it again. So Patoka brought this box in. And he said, and I'm still trying to understand it, okay? But he said that in their understanding of things, giving God your first, giving God your 10% is very important. So you might do it in your family, you do it in your church, you might do it in your own house. But you have a box, and you do what God says, which is to give God your tithe, your best. And in Patoka's church in Thailand, and Apong would say the same thing, and you can ask him more about it if you want to understand more. It's the idea that you give your best in there, and then after, now for them in their churches, they would just lock it, right? We'll put it in a bank. But they would lock it, and then maybe after 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, however long, when God shows them how to use that, because that is God's money, they understand that it's God's money, then they use it. Then they bless someone, or they provide for someone, or they use it to throw a party in the church, like the festivals in the Old Testament times. So the same idea, we thought, well, you know what, we can learn something from that. That was new to me. Not giving 10% wasn't new, but this idea of a box. So we have that in front of the church, kind of as a way to learn to think differently about our tithe and our money. As we close, I put the same picture of a bucket with water flowing out of it. I want us to think about, how do we live out of God's abundance? How do we remember that the standard for giving is what Jesus did? That's a pretty high standard. It's not comparing yourself to your neighbor. Oh, they only put in this much, or only the. No, no, no. The standard for giving, the standard for generosity, is Christ. And our giving is a way we're going to experience God's grace among us. Like the Macedonians, we should give generously and joyfully. Hey, we want to participate. We want to give. Like the Corinthian church, we should give out of God's abundance. We should be intentional. They had promised, we're going to set aside every week to see what God will do with that money. Be intentional. Decide ahead of time what you're going to give. It may just feel like 2 fish and 5 loaves. But when we give joyfully, when we give out of the abundance, God smiles, and our gift is acceptable. 2 Corinthians 9 says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart, not reluctantly, or not because Pastor Rose is making you feel guilty. Right? Not under compulsion. It doesn't say that, but it says not under compulsion. It says God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a giver who is giving out of the abundance of what has been given to them. You know, giving is kind of a slap in the face to fear, right? Our society, our culture says, oh, you're not going to have enough. You're not going to have enough. It's not going to be good enough. You have to protect yourself. You have to have more. You have to have more. You never know what might happen. When we give freely, when our hands are open, it's like saying to fear, you know, I'm not going to be afraid. I trust God. I trust that God is the true owner, and he is going to provide, and all of this is his anyway, and I'm going to give glory and honor and obedience to him. Remember, we're talking about money, but we're also talking about any of our possessions. We're talking about our physical bodies. We're talking about our talents. We're talking about our time. And so as you think about, we're going to have our offering again today after the sermon as our response. If you think about it, so as you think about it, as you come forward to put your offering, either is this box locked? No, it's open. In the box, Or you can also put offerings in here. But you can also put marbles in here. And the marbles represent different things of what you want to share this week with God, what you want to give to God. So the blue marble is your talents and your gifts. The gold represents your treasures or your possessions. The green represents thinking about the earth and trying to figure out ways to take care of the earth better. The white represents your time, which is something that I've really been working on. And then the red represents your body and how you're going to think and take care of your body. Maybe your exercise or what kind of food you're eating, all of those things. So thinking about how you want to honor God, how you want to give God your best. If none of those fit you, there's little cards up here that say, write your offering to God on the back of this card. We want you to remember our offerings and our tithes are more than money. They include money, but they're more than that. It's a way of living your whole life. So I'm going to pray. And by the way, we still have these in the back. If you missed the Sunday where these were given out, these kind of go over each of the colors and each of our kinds of offering, and it gives us scripture to think about or to look up or to study as you think about how can I honor God in these ways. So let's pray. Lord God, you have given us so much. Open our eyes and our hearts and our hands and our minds to begin to be aware you have given us more than money. You've given us peace and salvation and joy and life, a beautiful creation, a whole ocean of good gifts. And you've asked us to take what we need, but also to share that and to give back to you and to give to others so that they can know about you. God, you're not satisfied with just a part of us. You want our whole heart, our whole mind, our whole body, everything we have to be offered back to you, our whole lives. So keep working in our hearts. Bring this to our mind during the week. Just keep revealing to us what life would be like if we lived that way, like the Macedonians. Generous, open-hearted, open-handed. Thinking beyond ourselves to the rest of the people that you love. And for this morning, show each of us what you have for us, what area you're kind of calling us to get creative and think about. Thank you for your patience in working with us. In Jesus' name, amen. So Marty will come forward. We'll be singing a song, I Surrender All. And during that time, as you're standing, you can come forward and put your offering here and here. And then Danilo will have a prayer for the offering after we pass it.